The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Live from Bar Canada at the D, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Apologies to Todd Wright, we hard outed him. That happens from time to time.
Sorry, Todd.
Sorry about that.
He worked in radio forever. He knows how it goes.
Still to come this hour, Mark Borchardt joins us from an undisclosed location in the desert. I want to talk more baseball. Great baseball day today. So many playoff implications. Is this the greatest time of year? Football dominates the weekends. Baseball during the week. It's the old Deion Sanders. Baseball is my brain. Football is my brain on crack. The tribute to the old anti-drug campaign.
The one I wanted to jump in with when you guys were talking in a wild card is Padres still got a chance?
Stop it. Stop it with the Padres.
It's annoying when you say they're only 5.5 out, though. We brought this up like every month since the beginning of the season.
It's like they dug themselves just big right. enough of a hole where it doesn't matter.
I didn't realize how tight that race was. That is jammed.
The Cubs made it even tighter because they weren't even part of the discussion, and now they can't win a baseball game. So... five teams to get two positions in the National League. And also, by the way, in the American League, it's really, you know, there are two positions up for grab as well. It's the Blue Jays, Rangers, and Mariners fighting for the last two AL wild card spots. That assumes that the Astros win the West, which you really shouldn't assume, but that's what it currently would be. Astros only have a 1.5 game lead over both the Rangers and Mariners. You know, a lot of people sweating that out, the AL West picture.
Guessing lines updates from yesterday?
Yes.
NFL guessing lines
updates?
Yes, please,
updates. Please, absolutely.
Your three of the Lions is now widely available.
Which is unbelievable to me. Detroit only a 3-point favorite against Atlanta.
I don't know what I'm going to do with that one because I'm very... Here's the thing. I think there's a chance, there is a path where the Falcons are a problem on the ground. But the thing is, if Detroit gets up, a 10 points, 14 points, you trusting Desmond Ridder to bring that team back into the game?
Well, that's largely
the point. It's a big part of the
handicap. But the bigger point is the same reason why I took Seattle plus the points this past week, which is all it took for the market was to see one game, and then it flipped the entire perception of the Seattle Seahawks because they were blown out by the Rams, and all of a sudden they're going to be this massive dog to Detroit the next week. Now Detroit loses to Seattle outright, and now all of a sudden Detroit's only a 3-point favorite against Atlanta. Like, the recency bias is out of control.
And the one you brought up yesterday, I'm glad I bet it yesterday, was the Seahawks with that Panther Seahawks game, because you called it. You said 6 or 6.5. It's 6, 6.5 right now.
As it should be.
And there's plenty of sixes available, Gil. I mean, I bet that at 4.5 yesterday, Seahawks. I don't even think six is out of control. I mean, what did you see out of that Panthers team last night to inspire you with them heading into Seattle?
Nada. We get tweets. Ryan Hyatt, someone's missing a great marketing opportunity there at the D by not playing the Long Shots podcast promo in the background while Gil and Kelly start the day. Just play it.
So true.
Just play it throughout the whole thing.
Ryder Cup next week.
Let's go, Long Shots. Scotty B726, Jags Houston has been a survivor death sentence for years. Oh, boy, the Jags will get you. Moneyline Mac, I wanted to bring this up. Damar Hamlin, comeback player of the year, is now just minus 110. Hyde already questionable to play, making Hamlin a candidate to suit up. Now, remember, we said this all offseason. I was screaming, did someone almost die on the field when you pushed back on, you know, could Hamlin not be comeback player of the year? I said, he just needs to suit up. You then added, which I think was correct, he needs to make one play, and then he's the automatic comeback player of the year because, again, he almost died on the football field. But you got to play the game, and so far he has not. And the point, though, being made by Moneyline Mac is, with Micah Hyde being questionable, this could be the week.
Yep.
And minus 110 would be a gift if that's the case.
Okay, now keep in mind, it's still a little iffy, right? Because he was a healthy scratch, right?
Yeah.
The first 2 weeks, both of them?
I think so. Don't hold me to that. But
yeah,
I don't know
about the second one. Yeah. But he was healthy scratch. So you're thinking he's what, like fourth, fifth safety in that rotation? He's got to get there. I just pulled up these odds. The one I got to bring up real quick, because the other guy I think you got to consider in the same vein a little bit, right, is John Mechie. And at least he played last week, got a catch. He's still sitting at 30-1. I think that would still be attractive to me. How is Calvin Ridley getting shorter? Calvin Ridley is not winning this award for coming back from being suspended for betting.
Even dumber, Deshaun Watson remains 60-1. As the chances of Deshaun Watson being named comeback player of the year are nil. What is nil? By the way, Chase Young, 50-1. Come on, stop it. It's not going to happen. Tua, by the way, for those wondering who's the next shot after Damar Hamlin, it's Tua.
It's Tua, but this is Ridley after them.
Plus 275, followed by Ridley at 14-1. You know where my guy Puka Nacua is? You see that? Puka Nacua, offensive rookie of the year, 6-1. Okay. 6-1. Wait, I see 8-1. You said 6-1?
I saw 6-1 at Caesars. I was trying to find us that last winless, last undefeated market in town.
Yeah, so Bijan plus 175, Anthony Richardson plus 225, and then Puka at 8-1 at DraftKings. I'm not even happy with the number I got, 25-1. Like, I was slow on the draw. It was 30-1 before it could get there, 25-1. Ladies and gentlemen, I made two big errors at the beginning of this program because I had so much that I wanted to say. One was, I didn't even promo that Jason Weingart was going to be on the show. You know what the other thing was, Kelly?
What's that?
I failed to mention that it's College Football Guessing Lines with Kelly Midland.
Oh, that's right. Fire it up, baby. Prime time! We're talking Colorado and Florida State till they lose, Gil, even though they both almost did.
Again, if I get to guess lines for the NFL for 2 hours, we can give Kelly 5 minutes, can't we?
Yeah.
Can't we? And again, this is born out of the fact that, and I want to make this clear, Kelly Bidlin, for those who are just landing on the show, they're going to think you're some kind of stooge, some kind of clown. And we don't want them to think that. Kelly Bidlin, co-host a golf podcast. He wins a lot of golf bets. He's a very sharp golf bettor. And boy, does he love his NBA to the point where you almost have to question his sanity. Yeah, he loves the NBA so much. And he bets that very well. College football, not so much.
Nope.
In fact, last year, again, this was born out of when Kelly quickly wanted me to give him a spread of a game. By the way, Pete Futak's coming up to talk college football with us as well. When he wanted a spread of a game, I said 14, and you then quietly said plus or minus. And out of that, this was born. You ready to do four games?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'm ready.
Game,
go. Got my notes.
Game number one. Game number one. And
yes.
I want to do this in the order that you are prepared because I don't want to throw you any curveballs.
Yes,
game
exactly.
Number one. Let me get my notes straight. Colorado versus Oregon, of course.
Yeah, this one's tough.
Of course.
This one's tough because the Colorado lines are tough every week.
Well, wait a minute. Let me just ask you a real question. Are you really able to stay in a cocoon about this spread?
This one, yeah. This one, yes. There's one I'm going to admit that I didn't.
You're a liar.
Didn't that Florida State one? Of course, I got a friend. Oh. I got a text from a friend yesterday. Like, hey, this is automatic, right?
Wait, so what was your guess on, if you really were in a cocoon on Colorado, Oregon, what is your guess?
No, I have not seen this line.
Okay.
My guess on this one is Oregon 10, is what I have. Oregon 10.
Oh, you
because of the Colorado hype train, okay?
Well, you proved it.
What is it?
21 now.
21. Oh, yeah, I guess we're going to go rapid fire here.
By the way, I got 14.5 when it first came out, thinking, oh, this line is terrible. I'm going to grab it. And then Travis Hunter's out. Travis Hunter's out for 3 weeks.
Lacerated liver. Oh, my gosh.
On a complete cheap shot.
And, like that's better not happen to me ever. I've got one of the hardest working livers in Vegas, so.
Yeah. He actually came back in the game, played a little while, and then went to the hospital.
Yeah, it's wild. He's out. I don't really get this, though. Oregon was, what, a 4.5-point favorite over Texas Tech? Like, this line, I don't know. This line seems extreme at 21. I got 10. Whatever. What do I know? Next game.
So you're saying a whole bunch of value on Colorado is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I also said that last week when they went into a double overtime with Colorado State. So, yeah.
All right. Game number two. Great college football weekend. A lot of marquee matchups. Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Okay. So easy wins a week ago. Notre Dame's played a slightly tougher schedule. The ATS plus minus, well in Notre Dame's favor. I made this Ohio State 3 because I think you still got a talented team heading into Notre Dame, but Ohio State's always going to be rated a little higher. Mm-hmm. So I got Ohio State 3.
I think you're kind of dead on this one, aren't you? Yeah, 3.5.
Almost hit that. All right.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. We're heating up.
Kelly Bidlon, everybody. Getting one right here.
I was going to try to fool you with the Florida State one, where I was going to do a whole spiel and then have it nailed right on.
Yeah.
But then I was going to admit I did see it.
We're going to learn a lot about both of these teams on Saturday between Ohio State and Notre Dame. All right. Number three. This is a Wyatt Tomchek special. He puts together these games. I have no idea why he selected this one. Very rando. Texas Tech in West Virginia. Random.
This is, you know what? I gotta give props to Wyatt. He sets us up every week. This one was brutal to figure out. I'm like, what the hell? So, like, okay, Texas Tech was ranked before the season. So, like, I'm guessing you got to factor in priors here a little bit, but they're 1-2 losses to Wyoming and Oregon. I mean, I got Texas Tech minus 2.5 is what I put.
You're a little light, as Chrissy would
say. Okay, okay.
A little light.
A little light.
A little low. Okay. Yeah. Texas Tech by, I want to say 6.5, is it? 6, we're showing at DraftKings. Texas Tech by 6 against the Mountaineers of West Virginia.
All right.
So, all right.
A little light. Little light. Okay, and then Florida State Clemson, I already saw it, so I can't even play this game. But I thought it would be within 3 anyways, like one way or the other, and that's exactly what it is. Florida State, I think I saw 2 on that game in Clemson. So I came up with a new game for this game.
Mm-hmm.
For you, Gil.
Sure.
Who is Gil Alexander's favorite Florida State athlete of all time?
Oh, no
That's
question.
That's just what I gave you options. Hold on. I don't even know where you're going.
Oh.
I made this multiple choice, okay?
Oh.
A, Deion Sanders.
Ooh, that is
B,
yeah.
Buster Posey.
No.
C, Burt Reynolds. D, Chris Singleton. E, other.
You know, to be honest with you, Deion is clear. You said favorite athlete. Is that what you...
Favorite Florida State athlete. And yes, right. Burt Reynolds played football for Florida State.
Yes, he did. I took the word athlete literally. And clearly the answer ought to be A, Deion Sanders. But I'll be honest with you. None of these people popped in my mind. You know, the first person who popped in my head was Peter Warrick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Who, when you think about your life of observing college football players, he is on the short list of the greatest you've ever seen. I'm talking top 10.
Okay.
Peter Warrick would be my answer. But Deion, there was nothing like Deion. Deion would roll across campus, play two different sports.
It was incredible. And ran track.
Then as a pro, he'd like play a baseball game, go to Atlanta, play a football game, play a World Series game that night, 3 games in 24 hours. It's amazing. Coming back, Pete Futak on college football.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Too many to name. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Phil Weiss, No Filter 37. The chances of Watson being named anything other than defendant is 0. Oh, look at Phil Weiss. Jordan Pagel. Calvin Ridley winning the most ambiguous award in gambling after coming back from a suspension for gambling seems like the most gambling thing ever. I think you're right, Jordan Pagel. Jesse Welch. Kelly Bin Laden nails Ohio versus Notre Dame. That's got to be a first, right? No disrespect intended. I think it is.
I think it is a first. I don't remember. I think I've been close, like a point and a half before with it, close to it. I don't think I've ever hit one right on.
I'm getting ready to give this fly these headphones.
Yeah, I saw it.
Here, do the show.
Saw it around you.
If you want to do the show that badly, fly. That Pepsi guy, Will, what happens if the Jets make the playoffs? Any thoughts on Zach Wilson at 100-1 for comeback player of the year? Oh, I have a thought, and that is no.
No, not at all. I mean, maybe if you're looking for that market next year in the XFL, USFL Reunited League or whatever, yeah, he might be in a good option there.
Oh, and Double Down 23 and Jason Stark both point out you left out Charlie Ward, two-sport athlete.
I obviously had an agenda for the list, okay?
You wanted to put Singleton in there?
I needed to work Chris Singleton in
there. I had to put Chris Singleton in there.
And I wanted to work in Buster Posey because I thought, you know, yeah, Giants fan over here. Yeah.
3-time champion.
And Burt Reynolds. You always got to mention how Burt Reynolds played football in like the 50s.
And Charlie Ward, downgrade for anti-Semitism. Sure. Great. Great stuff. Okay. Let's talk some more college football because we haven't had a chance to with guessing lines yesterday. Pete Futak joins us from College Football News. How you doing, Peter?
Speaking of anti, hey, how's it going? Great, nice intro for me there.
That's right. It's a great transition, Pete. I'll do that next time.
Appreciate it. I'd rather be known as the greatest quarterback in New York during the 90s who didn't play. But But be that as it may, I'm doing just fine.
All right, we got a lot to get to. One, let's talk about last week before we get to a bunch of really good games this week. Colorado needs a furious comeback. and they have to do it in overtime to get by Colorado State as north of three touchdown favorites. Now there's no Travis Hunter. This line against Oregon is shot up to three touchdowns, 21. Forget the cover. Any chance of them pulling off the unbelievable here and winning this out?
Absolutely. When you've got that offense, absolutely. And let's see if they're one of those teams that just needs the extra juice, that extra fuel. And they're obviously a grievance team where, like, oh, my gosh, you said something bad about, you know, you mocked my latte or something. And they'll get all upset about it. Like, that's kind of how they
work. Latte.
So, and it worked. Like, nobody believed in us against TCU. And, oh, Matt Rhule said bad stuff about my daddy and all that kind of stuff. But they were supposed to crush Colorado State. And so as much as they kind of wanted to make something out of the sunglasses comment, which was totally taken out of context by Dane Orvell, it didn't quite work. Now they get to do the, hey, look, no one believes in us again thing. And that seems to be just enough. That doesn't make up for the fact that they have no defense. But still, with that offense, yeah, they can. And you guys would know better than I would. This is I've never seen anything like it when it comes to the betting lines with Colorado. And I think the idea, the media, how they think of it, and the public, how they think of Colorado, and the betting public, how they think of Colorado, are three completely separate things. And it is just one of the weirdest things I can ever remember when it comes to trying to figure out lines.
Well, I will tell you that I love the story. I was very open about it on this show. I don't think I've ever said it about anything else where I rooted for something just for the content. And that was really it for Colorado. And I do have a Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter Heisman bets. Obviously, Hunter not looking good now at this point, but the Shedeur one does. At the number, I got 150-1. But, like, this was always the thing, even as this story has gone. This was where the rubber met the road, right? It's the Oregon-USC part of the schedule. So, I mean...
Well, and sorry to cut you off, but the problem is your Shedeur bet... First of all, Travis Hunter, I told you that was never going to work. He's never going to win the Heisman. But Shedeur, like, the problem was he had a high... They had first in 98...
Yeah,
and he had a Heisman moment,
but
it was 2 a.m. on the East Coast, and no one saw it.
Don't sell it short. It was 2:30. Like, I mean, that's what – whose idea, Pete? And by the way, I talked about today, like, there's no day baseball, which is such a missed opportunity for baseball. Whose idea was it to just make that game as late as possible? It was so ridiculous.
I honestly assuming that everyone thought it was going to be 31-0 after the first quarter. I just because Colorado State, what got weirded out in this whole thing is just how bad Colorado State has been for the last 4 years. And you're right. I mean, they should not have been close in this game, but that was a Heisman moment. And now let's see what happens because he gets Bo Nix. Because now the Heisman's going to shake out in the next 2 weeks because we have Bo Nix this week. If he rocks against that. He's got Caleb Williams coming to Colorado, and that's where that's going to happen. Not to pivot here, but if Sam Hartman, you want to talk about where you're getting Sam Hartman, if he blows up on Ohio State, because everyone's going to watch that, that might be an early favorite there as well. So this is all going to be kind of crazy pretty quick, because all those Pac-12 guys, they're all going to beat each other up. Every quarterback's going to throw for 350 yards every single game, and they're all going to kind of knock each other out. So who's going to rise up out of that whole pack when it comes to the Heisman betting?
All right, we got 4 minutes, so I want to do all this rapid fire, Pete. Colorado's adjusted season win total, by the way, 6.5. Remember, it was pre-flop 3.5. I don't need you to comment on that, but I want you to comment on Alabama's adjusted season win total, which is now 8.5. Are they going over that or not?
Of course they are. They're Alabama. They'll figure it out.
Would say that, Pete. Yes.
They do, though. Every time I think they don't, then all of a sudden they end up playing and winning the national championship. Just they'll figure something out. They'll adjust, and they'll have that midseason thing. So, yes, they will definitely go over the 8.5.
Pete, you were minus 1,000 to say over on that. I wish I could have bet on that.
Duh. Well, because it's Alabama. It's because, you know what? There are so many receipts paid by Alabama for the last 10 years. If I'm wrong on this, I'm still up a gajillion on this call.
All right. Let's go through some of the great marquee games from this weekend. UCLA and Utah. The Utes favored by 4.5. Your thoughts?
always take Utah at home, especially a close game like this. UCLA is absolutely the real deal, but until proven otherwise in this Pac-12 and these great in this great year for the conference, keep taking the home team, especially if it's only 4.5.
All right, what about Ohio State and Notre Dame? Ohio State favored by 3.5.
Not even thinking, just throwing Ohio State. Even though everyone I'm seeing likes Notre Dame. I, you know what, this might be the Texas, Alabama, you know, sort of Florida State, LSU, North Carolina curveball we've seen. I wouldn't be shocked if Notre Dame wins, but Ohio State, I'm always, you know me, I'm always going to take talent over the storyline.
All right, let's go back to Alabama. What about Ole Miss at Bama, the Crimson Tide favored by 7 here?
Mr. Alabama here, as I was saying all that hoo-ha, I want nothing to do with this game. Ole Miss is good. They've got an offense. Lane Kiffin's you want somehow you can bet on Lane Kiffin being the next Bama head coach, do it, because that's going to happen in the next 3 years. I love this Ole Miss team. Bama's Bama at home. I never want to go against them. I want nothing to do with it. If I have to, I'm saying Bama, but not to cover.
Okay, with Alabama looking shaky, with a Georgia not exactly dominating opponents, is Texas the most complete team in the country, and are they worth a national championship bet?
Y'all didn't see them. You know, I talk about TV. No one saw that. It was on the Longhorn Network at the same time as Florida, Tennessee wrapping up, and just as Colorado was going. Texas was awful until the fourth, whatever.
Yeah.
And the final score looked good. They're going to get beaten by someone, whether it's first of all, Texas. They're going to blow it. But if you want to talk about who looks complete right now,
yes,
LSU. It might be too late. They can't lose another game. But if you're to go with your original thought and point, if Alabama's struggling and the SEC is looking really, really meh, LSU looked like a killer against Mississippi State, and Mississippi State's got a defense, and they couldn't do anything to stop that. So if LSU figured it out again, kind of like they did last year, they still got that big matzo ball hanging in the back at the end there if they get to the SEC championship like they did last season with Georgia. But they are looking really, really good.
Note, Kelly, that he did not say FSU. He said LSU.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
Note that. My buddy was like, is Oklahoma worth it? I'm like, please, no, Oklahoma, do not do that. So LSU would be
I don't know. Are we sure? I mean, that offense all of a sudden is working again. I mean, Oklahoma-Texas is a toss-up at this point.
Yeah,
so
I can't do it.
If you're thinking that, I get it. It's Oklahoma. They're not winning the national championship, but they're pretty good. Until proven otherwise, there are a couple under-the-radar teams. Ohio State, Penn State, and even Oklahoma, Penn State, and to a certain extent, we'll find out this week, Notre Dame.
Thank you, Pete.
Those three. Later, guys.
Appreciate it. Pete Futak, at Pete Futak, FIUTAK on Twitter. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, great song, Kelly. Love Machine by the Miracles. Oh, can't beat that. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, we're on air. Oh, we're back with another week of football. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code Vegas. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Who doesn't like that? Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code Vegas. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander live from the D. We got tweets at Beating the Book. Buddhist man paraphrasing a conversation with Todd Wright that I had there towards the end of the hour. Me, ultimately, you think your play will be what this week? Then he quotes Todd as saying, in early August, I cross-referenced the lowest estimated value with totals, win totals with those teams being on the road as a 7-point favorite. And then I'm screaming, give me the damn answer, Todd. That wasn't exactly how it happened, but we apologize to Todd. Xavier 82. Not sure if you saw that the DB who had that cheap shot on Colorado's Travis Hunter has been targeted all week with death threats. His address and phone number leaked online Sunday. Yeah, that's awful.
It's awful. It's absolutely horrible.
It's awful. Yep. And also, like, now people are calling for, like, Colorado State to suspend him. It's like, stop with that already. It was a moment. It was a bad play. I'm sure he'd like to have it back, too. Incognito better. Found 45-1 on Mechie for comeback player of the year. Also grabbed a piece of Hamlin at -115. David Shalafour. Hey, guys, do you know if Matt Brown's new football podcast will have statistical models? And thoughts on best bets on sides of props. You know what? I'm going to check that out. We'll ask some questions. Banshees of Atlantic City. Going to need a reply of this exchange from last hour. Gil said, Kelly, do you have a problem with the plural of the word juice? And Kelly, very enthusiastically, I'm glad you brought that up.
Because he had brought it up before, okay? Yes, it probably did sound weird in the moment.
I'm glad you
brought it up the segment before. I didn't get a chance to chime in.
Like you had a whole chapter to talk about it.
I had something prepared. I wanted to chime in. I hadn't thought about that word before. You were right.
Scola, Burt Reynolds, FSU, and running back in the longest yard. Also in real life, of course. Mm-hmm. Christopher Lubistek, when you went through your FSU luminary, said you forgot Myron Roland, Scotty Barnes. Maybe an honorable mention, he says.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how Myron Roll ended up at FSU. We had very different college experiences.
Myron Roll?
Yeah.
Isn't Myron Roll like a physician now?
Rhodes
like a
scholar,
surgeon?
Yeah. Like a brain surgeon or so. I don't know what he's up to.
And you ended up at a bar at a casino downtown.
Yeah. Mm. Trying to not to fail out of school.
Trust the glove. It looks like we have a maturity issue at Denver quarterback. It's going to get ugly. Did something happen with Russell Wilson this morning? Have you checked on that?
Not that I've seen yet.
Bill Walsh. Not that Bill Walsh. Regarding Arizona tanking, which locker room do you think was in deeper trouble with the front office at halftime, the Giants or the Cardinals? Oh, very interesting, right? If, in fact, they are in tank mode. What are you guys doing? Let's see. Jesse Welch. So, Gil, what you're relaying is, in order to get on air, all I have to do is come to the D, constantly buzz around you and annoy you enough until you'll give me the headphones. Got it. I was willing to give the fly the headphones. And by the way, this is from Always Talking Ball podcast, who makes me aware of this, from John Orand. You know, talk about like the game ended, the Colorado State game ended after 2:30 a.m. Eastern. Well, at 2:15 a.m. Eastern, the game still registered 8,230,000 viewers, an audience that was more than 1 million viewers bigger than the peak audience of any other college football game that week.
Wow.
That is amazing. We'll get to more later. Mark Borchard joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. Basewinner, basewinner.com, @basewinner. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing good. Looking forward to the next, I don't know, 15 days. See who makes the playoffs and what the seeds are.
It doesn't get better than this. It really doesn't. It's just the best time of year. And baseball, the races are so awesome. Giants and Diamondbacks, first of a two-game set. If the Giants win one of them, they will own the tiebreaker against Arizona for the season. Arizona would have to sweep them. But, of course, Arizona, two games better in the loss column. Two of five teams vying for two spots. Do you have anything on this game today?
No, I don't, but I think that there's still value. I know we've been talking about this pretty much for the last couple months, and I'm still showing value with the Giants. I mean, they're priced at DK at +900 to make the playoffs, and I think that that's a good price. I don't think they'll make it. I've got them 20% chance at this point, but that equates to like +363. So I think the bet's a good bet for them to make the playoffs, Gil.
Yeah, tonight's matchup in Arizona is Alex Cobb against Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen, who's a Cy Young candidacy, probably no longer in play, but that's the matchup tonight. What did you end up playing today, Mark?
Well, I didn't want to overthink it. Sometimes we overthink too much, especially me, as a handicapper. And I went first five parlay, Strider Snell. And I mean, these guys, you know, you look at their numbers, they're both at 32% strikeout percentage, last 150. And Snell's stuff plus not as great as you would think in the 74th percentile. Strider's still 98th percentile stuff plus, pitching plus 96th percentile. You look at Snell's opponent, Feltner, there's really not much good to say about him. Now, Sanchez, on the other hand, for Philly, has been pretty good. I mean, if you look at his, and this is interesting if you're a Philly fan, and I kind of am, like, because my family's from Philadelphia, or my wife and my father-in-law, rather, from Philly. And if you look at his median of his last 17 games, which is usually what I use, and sometimes I throw in some secret sauce and stuff, but median strikeout percentage, last 17 starts, 23%, a 5% walk rate, and a ground ball percentage of 58%. And that's 29% better than league average. So that's really good. Conversely, though, he does have issues with ISO power allowed and home runs per plate appearance. He's 25% worse in those departments. And I think in today's game, I think the Braves are going to be able to take advantage of that. You know, the Braves, this is a historic team, Gil. You know, 5 guys with 30 or more home runs. It's only been done one other time. The Twins did it in 2019. But, you know, baseball's been going on a long time. These guys are at historic levels, the offense for the Braves, Gil.
The Strider-Snell first 5 parlay for Mark Borchardt. You concede that Snell is going to win this, or Steele? You concede that it will not be Strider?
You know what? I don't know. If it's for me, if the voters, and it depends on how educated the voters are, if they're really like understanding what a pitcher can control and what they can't, they have to give it to Strider. Yeah. I mean, you look at the numbers, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know, you'd like to think that the voters are becoming more educated. I mean, there's a lot of information in the last 5 years that has proliferated. You would think that this is what their job is. They write about baseball, that they would absorb that.
In a way,
it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, but and the other thing too, Gil, and we've talked about this, is we're talking about betting odds. So, like, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know. For me, it's not even close. Strider should win based on strikeout percentage, walk percentage, and everything else.
As you know, I'm 100% with you on all of those thoughts. It's just that I don't think these voters are that sophisticated. Now, by the way, the flip side of this is, let's say somehow, you know, by the time they give this award away, which is deep November, because they take forever to give them away, let's say it does end up being Strider. I will hate myself for not betting it at 75-1 or 150 or whatever it was here down the stretch, right? So it's gonna be bittersweet no matter what. But I wish they were as sophisticated as you are, Mark, these voters. Real quick, I want to ask you a couple just other things. I asked Jason this earlier. I want to ask this of you. The Braves, huge lead, just have kind of stopped playing Braves baseball here of late. Do you worry about that at all in an always fickle baseball postseason? You know, even besides doing that, it's always fickle. Do you worry about the Braves?
Well, you know, I think even the best teams, and we looked at, you know, the Marlins series, and you got the best hitting team in baseball, and they were outslugged by the Marlins, who's really, I mean, you know, so that happens in baseball. So I think that you have to be a little bit worried about it when you're handicapping postseason baseball. You know, Gil, I kind of got into this whole thing. You know, do you remember the Reds-A's World Series where the Reds swept the A's?
Yes.
And I was on the A's. I was on the A's all 4 games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's fascinating how you get into it. And I said, well, I got to be better than that. But, you know, maybe I'd do it over again. They had Dave Stewart, Bob Welch, have really good pitching. So,
right. Yeah,
I mean, anything can happen in these postseason series, Gil.
Anything can happen. And again, I always quote the stats by Lopez, you know, for the same percentage of favorites to get through that do in the NBA and hockey. You have to play a best of 51. In baseball, you have to play a best of 75. It's that random in the postseason. Anyway, I just wanted to know about the, you know, not playing competitive games for as long as the Braves have. There's really no way to quantify that. It's just it's an interesting quirk that they'll just go weeks without playing anything meaningful once they obviously beat the Dodgers in that series and gained a huge lead over them. One last thing, 60 seconds, and this is just a sort of macro thing. Every year, there's always like a pitcher on certain teams, you know, that just don't get run support. It's just a thing that happens and it lasts a full season. The Giants have somebody like that in Logan Webb. We've seen it many years. Steve Carlton notoriously would not get run support. When you're handicapping individual games, do you ever keep that in mind, or do you just feel that that's something you can't wrap your hands around?
It's a good question, and my answer is no, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't think so. And like, there's a debate where it throws a rhythm off the team and stuff. And I feel like the way I handicap it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I thought that would be your answer, by the way. Wrap your arms around that. Wrap your hands around. I thought that would be your answer, but it always, like, whenever I see that, like Logan Webb, like, this guy's pitching a gem, not a single run. Right. And then the next game, they'll score 11. It's a fascinating thing. Baseball makes it so interesting of a puzzle to solve. Mark, enjoy the games today and enjoy these next couple of weeks of baseball.
Will do, Gil. Thanks a lot.
We'll talk next week. Mark Borchardt at BaseWinner. Kelly and I with our updated power rankings. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN shows are clashing. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win at stake a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 10% when you sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription and use promo code ANG. That's A Numbers Game. ANG, bragging rights, and the juicy futures ticket is on the line. It's time to start betting smarter and help us do the same. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription. Save 10% with promo code ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Now, I asked you this on air yesterday, and you were like, off-air conversation, Gil. Do you know how this works now? So,
yeah, we just need people to sign up.
Well, yes, but the part about the futures ticket. So then if they...
Nah, I reread Bill's email. I still don't really
fully get
it.
You still don't understand it? I thought I was going, great, I'll ask Kelly. He knows now. No, he doesn't know now.
I sent it to you, though, too, if you want to check it out. Yeah.
I think it's the winning show from that pool.
Yes.
Then they do some kind of...
I believe that
lottery.
Is they didn't say what happens to the last place show, though. We might, sign up, because I don't want to be on the chopping block, okay? If we don't win $1,000, that's
relegation?
One thing. Yeah, last place show, yeah.
Relegation.
We might get relegated even further, yeah.
I have a tennis play today.
Oh, yeah, you
which
do.
Which we forgot
yes.
to do. In Guadalajara, Mexico. This is a 1,000 tournament, but it's like the next best
really?
Thing to a slam, but everybody pulled out.
I've learned so much about these tennis tournaments the past few months.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. You're quite welcome.
It says, I knew immediately that 1,000was a higher level tournament than the 500 they played in San Diego last week.
That's correct. But you know what? Not really a great field as far as thousands are concerned, because everybody pulled out of this. Like 5 different players have pulled out.
Did you say Mexico City?
Guadalajara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Still elevation, for sure.
That's where I was going to bring it up. Okay.
Alicia Parks is north of $3 versus Ange Jabeur. This should not be anywhere close to this price. I am playing Alicia Parks at plus 314. It's at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific is when it's scheduled for. You know how tennis goes. Might be around there. Might be a little later. But Ange Jabeur has not been herself. She has been playing shaky tennis. This is a reputation line, nothing to do with current form, and there is no reason for this price to be what it is. Should Parks be the dog? Of course she should be. But plus 314, you gots to take a shot at that. Alicia Parks, whose hard court numbers are solid, Ange Jabeur's have not been. Alicia Parks, plus 314, your tennis play of the day, and a big dog at that. All right. Let me read a couple tweets first before we get to our updated power rankings. A lot of tweets today. We really appreciate it all. And the quality is so good. The best listeners of any show on any planet in any galaxy. In any Milky Way? In any galaxy? I don't know what I'm doing. Scott, New York Mets 16. Does Colorado have the team speed to compete with the big boys of the Pac-10? He says Pac-10. Sanders, I'm going to go Pac-8 while we're at it. Pac-4, really. Pac-2. Sanders got run down from behind several times by D linemen on Colorado State. They can score, but the explosive plays may start to dwindle, if I am correct. Thoughts? Your opinion is shared by most New York Mets. I don't think there's many people who believe they can pull it off in this one, ergo the market price. Bill Hooker, Warrick Dunn, you forgot. Great athlete, even better human being. FSU greats. Warrick Dunn. Mm-hmm. What a great college football career. I thought he was going to be so good in the pros. He was okay. He was a good pro. And then finally, Phil Weiss is like, just say uncle already about Strider. It's not me who didn't say uncle. It's Mark Borch who didn't say
uncle. We said uncle.
Believe me, we said uncle a long time ago. And then SoCal Fantasy, I love the music in the background. Sounds like you're headed to commercial the entire segment. That's why we keep you on your toes. That's what we're doing. It could be going to commercial right now.
Don't go anywhere.
What about right now? Yeah. You never know. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our week. Between week 2 and week 3, power rankings in the NFL.
Boom.
Plug it in. Let's plug it in. 107.5 The Bone.
It's an actual...
I like that you keep 103.1 The Buzz.
107.5 The Bone is actually a station in San Francisco.
Really? Okay,
yeah, it's a rock and roll station.
Yeah, I keep naming the one in South Florida.
107.5 The Bone. At least it used to be. I don't know what it is now. I'm like, my radio days stopped like 10 years ago. So it's like... All right. So Kelly was saying this earlier, and I think this is true. After week 1, you really don't know anything because you have the one data point. We probably don't know that much right now, but it's a little more solidified. And I do want to say that my top 10 after week one, which some might have said was a little shaky, that kind of, it kind of bore out nicely. Let me just give you what my updated top 10 are. And again, why do we do power rankings? Everybody should do rankings and ratings in every sport that they handicap to have a baseline to go off of. I've got the Niners still at number one.
And this is the most basic way to do it, but we've been doing it for, what, 3-4 years now together? Yep. And it's like, it's still insanely interesting to me every week we do this. Because like you said, week one, it was like, well, there's more than 10 good teams. How do I possibly rank all these? And then, like, this week, it's like, we're already at the point of, like, I don't know who's 9 and 10. Who knows?
Oh, it contextualizes the league for you. And you realize, God, do most teams suck or are, like, really mediocre?
We're just past week two, and it's like, well, I got to take this team out because this guy got injured already, right? He's out for the year.
That, too. Or it's also like we're past week two, and we're like, well, I can tell you all the playoff teams already.
Right.
or generally. I have the Niners number one. They were number one after week one. They remain number one. They're still the most complete team in football to me. The Chiefs remain number two. I get it. They're 1-1. They're still the Chiefs, though. They still have Patrick Mahomes, last I checked. They will be number two unless events dictate otherwise for me. Cowboys and Eagles flip. Cowboys go to 3. Eagles go to 4. Cowboys still haven't played anybody, but it's only 2 weeks. But the Cowboys have been so complete on offense and defense. So they get the nod over the Eagles. Eagles are still great. They're number 4. So you have three NFC teams in the top 4. Niners, Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles, and then Dolphins remain at number 5 for me. They were 5 last week. They remain number 5. They're 2-0. Two road wins for the Dolphins at the Chargers, at the Patriots. Pretty darn good opponents, too, that they win both on the road. They have to be number 5. I got the Bills moving up from 7 to 6. I was not willing to knock the Bills out after their loss to the Jets. I still think they're among the best teams in the NFL. I got the Ravens moving up to number 7. They were in my top 10 last week. I've got them up at number 7. This organization, Kelly, just remains solid year after year. And Lamar Jackson looks great.
Yep.
I got the Jaguars moving up from 10 to 8. Even with their loss to the Chiefs, I think they put in a great defensive performance. They're number 8. Now, here's where it got difficult for me.
Yes.
Well, actually,
we have the same 8 teams in our top 8.
Oh, we do.
They're just mixed around.
Oh, interesting. I had to put the Rams at number 9. Go crazy. I know a lot of you are like, what? You have the Rams at number 9? They crushed the Seahawks on the road and led the Niners deep into the second quarter. And it was a one-score game until late against the Niners. You tell me who else deserves to be number 9, if not the Rams. I got the Rams at number 9, and then 10 was really difficult. Believe it or not, I struggled to prevent myself from putting the Chargers at number 10, because in my heart of hearts, do I believe they're worse than 10? Probably not, but they can't win football games no matter what they do. So I got the Seahawks at 10. Yes, they got crushed by the Rams, but they bounced back nicely at Detroit. I got the Seahawks at number 10. Teams on the outside looking in do include teams like the Chargers and the Patriots and the Lions and teams of that ilk. No Browns because of the Chubb injury, and they weren't in my top 10 last week. No Bengals last week. They're certainly not in it this week either. You
mentioned Patriots there.
Yeah.
Like you would still have them like 12, 13 somewhere
there? They're in the top 15 for me.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think they're there. I don't even think they're top 15
for me. Okay.
What do you outside looking in is almost as interesting as discussion.
It is, because there's a handful of those, and then it drops off a cliff. By the way, Washington, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, all 3-2-0s, they're not in that group to me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start. I'll go the other way then. I'm going to start 10-9.
Okay.
Because I had the same battle in my mind. It's like, what do you put in 9-10? I was like, you know what? I'm not dropping the Bengals completely out of it until like Joe Burrow is not playing anymore.
He might not.
So I had left him right at 10. It was my easy way of slotting someone in at 10. And then I put the Seahawks 9.
Okay, so we had 9 out of 10 the same.
Yeah, I understand why you went Rams there. And last week, if you guys were watching this at all, I had 3 NFC teams at the top, and then the rest of it was AFC teams. So, like, that is how some of the AFC teams have been affected, whether by injury or whatever, has shaken this up a little bit. That's why Seahawks are really in there and coming off of a bye off from the Lions. Jaguars kind of just get moved up.
Kind of.
Based off of just, you know, teams falling out, right?
Drift.
So they go up, and I'm not really going to punish them for losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. So they're at 8-7. I went Bills kind of out of it week one, whatever. They're still a very good defensive team. I think they belong in this top 10, especially as teams are falling out. So 7. I'm with you on the Ravens, man. I mean, that's a team that I thought people were over, making too much out of the coordinator change in the offseason, but at the same time, like, I do expect that team's going to be way better, and John Harbaugh's still a great head coach. Dolphins 5. We have the same top 5. Dolphins 5, Chiefs 4 for me. I kept the NFC teams at the top. I will keep them there until one of them loses, I think. Cowboys number 1 for me, though.
What does this tell us? That it's pretty static already. Like, we have 9 of the top 10 similar? It's interesting. Yeah. Happened last year like this, too. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the sports betting network.